Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
More and more details coming out from FBI Director Christopher Wray's cross-examination today before the House committee. A lot of questions, though, still remain unanswered. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. The shooter fired many shots at President Trump, at least eight of them. Eight shots at former President Donald Trump. I mean, it really is truly remarkable that the former president is alive today, the former and future President Donald Trump. And yes, I still believe he will be the future president. But it's remarkable. I mean, it's truly remarkable that he's alive, given everything that we know, given everything we've learned about this.
Chair now recognizes the gentleman from Arizona.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Director Wray, for being here. How many shots did the shooter fire?
Well, we know that he fired at least eight because we recovered eight cartridges on the roof.
Okay. And are all the cartridges and the unspent bullets, have they been... You know how many there are? Have you accounted for all of those?
We believe we have. Again, there was lots of work still ongoing, but yes, we believe we have accounted.
And did the recovered shells, the cartridges, match the shooter's rifle?
My recollection is yes. Okay.
And you conducted analysis that confirms that?
My recollection is yes. My recollection? Isn't that something you should remember, whether or not the shell casings match the shooter's rifle or shooter's gun? I'm throwing it out there. All right.
Well, we work with ATF, but yes, so some of the work has been divided up. But.
And how many shells casings were recovered from the location of the counter snipers?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear the last part.
From the counter snipers location.
That I don't have the answer, at least here at my fingertips.
How do you not have that with you when you're testifying before Congress? How do you not have that handy? Just have it handy. I don't know, pull up a notepad, a piece of paper with some pertinent details on it for the House, for the members of Congress who are asking. Now, the other thing, too, is that trying to blame this on the Iranian government, this whole thing, which is just another way that the three-letter and four-letter deep state agencies can get us closer to World War III, That's also what's going on here. No question about it.
Director, when the FBI learned that Iran was threatening President Trump's life?
So I want to be a little bit careful here, not to talk about specific classified information, but we have been...
Why don't you just say you don't have it on hand? Why don't you just say you don't have it on hand and then just leave it at that? Okay.
Quite some time, and I'll stick with what's in the open record. We, for some time, and I in particular for some time, have been calling out the efforts by the Iranian government to attempt to retaliate for the killing of Soleimani by going after current or former prominent U.S. officials. And we've even had an indictment against it. And I think that we need to recognize the brazenness of the Iranian regime, including right here in the United States. And I expect that we're going to see more of it, and I expect there'll be more coming on that. I'm not aware of any threat information related to protectees that wasn't, you know, passed in a timely way, but I can't really get into specifics here.
It's the minority's time here, but I just felt that was a question the committee needed to understand, and it sounds like you've known that for a long time, and that information was conveyed to the Secret Service?
Any information related to threats against the former president, which again, as we've sort of talked about, is happens all too often, is something that we have a whole process we routinely share with the Secret Service on a number of levels in a timely way. And to my knowledge, that has consistently been followed.
All right. So we know that it happens all too often, threats against the former president. And he did not have the adequate staffing necessary in Butler, PA. A dude was allowed to fly a drone around. People were allowed to observe him on the roof, but it happens all too often. Hmm? Really? This is incredibly problematic. How about this excuse, too? The weapon had a collapsible stock on it, which could explain why it would have been possible for the shooter to get on the roof, and maybe why they have yet to find anybody with firsthand observation of the shooter with the weapon walking around beforehand. How is that possible? How are you not able to find anybody with firsthand observation of him with the weapon walking around beforehand? That just seems to be insane to me. Are you actually doing an investigation here? Did he want to find out the truth? Are you doing an investigation?
And I don't think this has been reported yet, that the weapon had a collapsible stock, which could explain why it might have been less easy for people to observe, you know, because one of the things that we're finding is people have observed him. The first people to observe him with the weapon were when he was already on the roof, and we haven't yet found anybody with firsthand observation of him with the weapon walking around beforehand. So that doesn't mean he wasn't, obviously, but the collapsible stock is potentially a very significant feature that might be relevant to that.
We haven't found anybody with any evidence that could tell us any of these things. This is very strange, isn't it? Isn't this very strange how much we still don't know? 2 weeks after the shooting, 2.5 weeks after the shooting, so much we still don't know. On July 6th, the shooter did a Google search for how far away was Oswald from Kennedy. Did you know this? I mean, there's a lot came out today that's making me just shake my head. There's just a lot coming out here that makes me shake my head here.
Now, in terms of what we've been able to find so far, a lot of the usual repositories of information have not yielded anything notable in terms of motive or like ideology. Having said that, it does appear fairly clear that he was interested in public figures, kind of more broadly, and I think this is important, that starting somewhere around July 6th or so, he became very focused on former President Trump and this rally. And so one of the things that I can share here today that has not been shared yet is that we've just in the last couple of days found that from our review, to your point about devices, analysis of a laptop that the investigation ties to the shooter reveals that on July 6th, he did a Google search for, quote, how far away was Oswald from Kennedy? And so that's a search that obviously is significant in terms of his state of mind. That is the same day that it appears that he registered for the Butler rally.
Something's off here. I'm sorry, but something about this is off. Does this not stink? Does this not make you go, wait a second here? Wait a second. This guy's Googling Lee Harvey Oswald, who was on the top of the Texas School Book Depository. Something is just not sitting right with me about this. Something is not sitting right here. I'm sorry, but it's just something is not sitting right. But then again, Jared Nadler said it's Donald Trump's fault, right? I mean, you know, because Donald Trump used bloodbath as a comment. Well, it's actually his fault. It's his fault.
This assassination attempt, as horrific as it is, should surprise no one. And you would think a political party that almost lost their presidential candidate through an act of political violence would have something to say about the way the leaders keep talking about the next election. Donald Trump has warned...
So it's words that are at fault. It's words, it's the gun, but it's nothing about the failure by the United States Secret Service, by the United States government, or potentially, maybe somebody on the inside helping. Biden should resign tonight at 8 o'clock, don't you? I mean, I don't want him to. I don't want him to because I don't want to give Kamala Harris the leg up or the advantage. But I would – if he does resign at 8 o'clock, are you going to be surprised? If he comes out and addresses the nation and says he's resigning as part of the golden parachute to get him out, to get her in, either for one of two purposes, either purpose number one so she can go out as the first woman president and then get the hell off the stage because she's a disaster as a candidate, or number two, to stay on the stage and give her the leg up so that she is the first woman president and you kind of get over that, the whole idea that, you know, she's the first woman president. Is it not so hard to process? I mean, I would not be surprised, but she's a terrible candidate. I played you the Dave McCormick ad in the last segment. Here's a little flashback of Kamala Harris criticizing Trump's plan to deport illegal aliens. Ready?
California Senator Kamala Harris is blasting President Trump's revamped executive order on refugees and immigration. A dramatic increase in deportations is expected once it's signed. During a forum in Southern California today, Senator Harris called the policies too extreme.
There's one interpretation that suggests if someone is suspected of committing a crime, then there's a basis for ICE to act. Well, that's outrageous. That's ridiculous. That's crazy.
California Senator Kamala Harris is blasting.
That's crazy, she says. That's crazy. She's a terrible candidate. NBC Steve Kornacki, Jersey guy with khakis. The idea that Kamala Harris will do better than Biden is based on hope than the actual numbers.
Does Kamala Harris fare against the former president?
I mean, the short answer is not really any better. Take a look at this. This is the average of all the polls you're talking about there since the debate that tested Kamala Harris against Donald Trump. Trump 47%, Harris 46%. In this same set of polls, when it was Joe Biden, 47% for Trump and 45% for Biden. So the Democratic number on average goes up from 45 to 46. But I think it underscores for Democrats, they view this move as something that's going to improve their chances in the general election. That is based more on hope than it is on the numbers right now, because you go another level deep in this and you've got the favorable, unfavorable, basic impression people have of these candidates here. For Joe Biden, look, these numbers have looked like this for a long time. Very, very bad numbers. 36 favorable, 57 unfavorable. Again, this in average of polls over the last month. So what's the difference with Kamala Harris? Again, not much of a difference from 36 favorable to 38, 57 unfavorable down to 52. But that's still a majority of voters saying they have an unfavorable impression of Kamala Harris. Throw up Donald Trump's numbers there for comparison. He's at 41 favorable, 55 unfavorable. All three of these figures with majorities of voters saying they are unfavorably impressed by them. So, again, from the Democratic standpoint here, they think Harris being, you know, reintroduced as a presidential candidate, getting a different look. They think these numbers can improve for her, both in the favorables and in the horse race against Trump. But we don't know. As you say, she has not really been tested. Her name never actually got to a primary ballot in 2020. She dropped out a couple months before that. So see how it goes over. Democrats hope these numbers will improve. There's also a possibility they don't. There's also a possibility this rollout does not go well.
Yeah, I mean, and
it's not going well now. Bottom line, it's not going well now. It's not. I mean, come on. It's just not. You know that. She wanted to ban cheeseburgers. This is a woman who wanted to ban cheeseburgers. James Carville was angry that preachy liberal women were telling us how to eat and they wanted to ban cheeseburgers. James Carville's acting like he's surprised, right? He's happy right now about Kamala Harris. It's a fugazi. He's not happy and he knows that she can't win. Because she wanted to ban cheeseburgers.
Certain countries have changed their dietary guidelines to reduce the consumption of red meat in light of the impact of the climate change.
Yeah.
If elected, will you be supporting change in dietary guidelines? And then how will you plan on implementing the changes so that people effectively change their diets?
Yeah, I mean, it's and thank you, Carol, for your work on the question. I think of the point that you're raising in a broader context, which is that as a nation, we actually have to have a real priority at the highest level of government around what we eat and in terms of healthy eating, because we have a problem in America. And we can talk about all that we are now the subject of this conversation. We can talk about the amount of sugar in everything. We could talk about soda. We could go on and on. So the answer is yes. But I'll also say this. The balance that we have to strike here, frankly, is about what government can and should do around creating incentives and then banning certain behaviors. I mean, just to be very honest with you, I love cheeseburgers from time to time, right? I mean, I just do. And I think that, there has to be also what we do in terms of creating incentives that we will eat in a healthy way, that we will encourage moderation, and that we will be educated about the effect of our eating habits on our environment. And we have to do a much better job of that, and the government has to do a much better job of that.
Okay, now, this is what Carville said, okay? Quote, "A suspicion of mine is that there are too many preachy females. Don't drink beer. Don't watch football. Don't eat hamburgers. This is not good for you. The message is too feminine. Everything you're doing is destroying the planet. You've got to eat your peas. You've got to eat your peas." He went further and he said this to Maureen Dowd. He said, if you listen to Democrat elites, NPR is my go-to place for that. The whole talk is about how women and women of color are going to decide this election. I'm like, well, 48% of the people that vote are males. Do you mind if I have some consideration? Kamala Harris is the embodiment of that, of the preachy liberal woman telling you how to eat, telling you how to live your life, trying to take things away from you that aren't good for you. She's literally the embodiment of that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm just saying you love cheeseburgers. I mean, we all do. I don't know.
From time to time.
Try the Beyond Burger, the Impossible Burger, right? They try, but it's not quite the same. That's my personal opinion. But would you support changing the dietary guidelines? The food pyramid. But people
to
reduce red meat specifically.
Yes, I would.
Yes, I would. She's the embodiment of the preachy liberal woman. Carville's full of it. He knows she's going down. That's why I'm still not convinced she's going to actually be the candidate. Don't go away.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, we are a short time away from the animatronic Joe Biden, fresh from the Hall of Presidents at Disney World, giving an address to the nation. Can't wait to see the Hollywood CGI that is the President of the United States. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210. On Twitter, at Rich Zeoli, our fourth and final hour here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Thanks for being here today. Appreciate it very, very much. Christopher Ray said, we don't know why Trump was kept off the stage. We also know that there was a drone that was flying around the rally site hours before the shooting. Why did any of this occur? This is the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria. VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A. VanariaDental.com, with two offices to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. So the Trump shooter flew a drone. All right? Why did this happen? Why? Why did this occur in such a manner? Take a listen to this exchange today with the FBI Director Christopher Wray.
Director, let me go back to where Mr. Bishop was. Tell me about the drone. You act like you wanted to fill us in on that. Fill us in.
So we have recovered a drone that the shooter appears to have used. It's being exploited and analyzed by the FBI lab. The drone was recovered in his vehicle. So at the time of the shooting, the drone was in his vehicle with the controller. In addition, our investigation has uncovered.
Do you know what time of day he flew it, and if he flew it on the day of the shot?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So in addition, it appears that around 3:50 p.m., 4 o'clock in that window, on the day of the shooting, that the shooter was flying the drone around the area.
2 hours.
About 11 minutes. I want to be clear, but when I say the area, not over the stage and that part of the area itself, but I would say about 200 yards, give or take, away
okay.
from that. We think, but we do not know. So again, this is one of these things that's qualified because of our ongoing review, that he was live streaming, you know, viewing the footage from that. Again, about 11 minutes in around the 3:50, 4 o'clock p.m. range.
2 hours before, he's flying a drone in the vicinity of the route.
About 200 yards away. Yes.
Okay.
And he's live streaming it, live streaming the event. Oh, that's helpful. That's very helpful. I'm so glad that was occurring. Aren't you? Makes me feel a lot better about the state of our country right now. Really does. Makes me feel a lot better about the state of our country that this guy was able to do that. Why was Trump allowed on the stage? I mean, that's the question that Congressman Dan Bishop asked today. Why was Trump allowed out of the car? Why was he allowed on the stage? These are great questions. We don't have any good answers, do we?
Isn't Trump not kept off the stage?
We don't know the answer to that, but I want to be clear, and this is important because I think it goes to questions that I can and cannot answer. Our investigation, the FBI's mandate, is focused on the shooter and all things related to his attack. Now, obviously, I understand very much the intense interest and focus on the Secret Service's performance, actions, decision-making, etc. There are two separate after-action reviews, the DHS Inspector General and the outside independent panel that's been convened that are focused on that. Now, our investigation
Everybody understands that. Here's the problem. We're out 13 days, and you say we've been disclosing. You know, we had the director, the colonel from the Pennsylvania State Police in front of Homeland yesterday. He was quite candid. He disclosed to us that Butler Emergency Services Unit personnel were posted into the windows on the second floor of the AGR building, that they left there to go pursue the person that they spotted, Crooks, that they texted a photo of Crooks to the PSP representative in the command center. That information was relayed to the United States Secret Service. They asked that it be texted to someone else. That was many minutes before President Trump took the stand. What we don't know is why were they not keeping him off the stand? And to the extent, you know, I know we always hear when there's a criminal investigation, you got to wait for that to develop. But do you have any other target of your criminal investigation other than Crooks, who's dead?
We are investigating the shooter both to determine his motive and his preparations and activities before the shooting, but also to make sure whether or not there are any co-conspirators, accomplices.
At this point, have you developed any evidence to so suggest that there are any accomplices or cooperators or assisters?
Not at this time, but again, the investigation is ongoing.
So here's the thing.
It's ongoing. You got to understand it's ongoing. What the colonel of the Pennsylvania State Police said was that, listen, we were in charge of the motorcade and we were in charge of the outside area. We were not in charge of the perimeter and we were not in charge of the buildings within the area itself. They basically had the roads and they had assist with the motorcade. Secret Service was in charge with everything else. And that's why this is such a disaster. And we got to get answers. And this is what Senator Tuberville said to me yesterday on the show. Just because she resigned doesn't mean we're going to stop trying to get answers from the now former Secret Service Director, Kimberly Cheadle. But you know who's absolutely just disgusting and revolting is Gerald Nadler, the waddler. He waddles his way into the hearing today and starts blaming Republicans for the assassination of Trump. You notice how Democrats, they're not really that concerned. They want to use this as an opportunity to blame guns and to find a way to blame Trump and Trump supporters. Of course, you knew that was going to happen, right?
And you would think a political party that almost lost their presidential candidate through an act of political violence would have something to say about the way their leaders keep talking about the next election. Donald Trump has warned there will be a, quote, bloodbath if he loses. Republican Ohio State Senator George Lang said just last week at a rally for J.D. Vance that he is, quote, afraid that civil war might be necessary if Republicans lose the November election. President of the right-wing think tank and Project 2025 leader, the Heritage Foundation, Kevin Roberts, said on Stephen Bannon's podcast, quote, we are in the process of the second American Revolution, which will remain bloodless if the left allows it to be, close quote.
Right.
Republican former Alaska.
Right. If the left allows it to be bloodless. Right. If political revolutions don't always have to be dripping with blood. That's why when Bernie Sanders is always talking about taking back our country and having a revolution, it doesn't literally mean an overthrow of the government or blood dripping everywhere. But the left seems to keep engaging in violence all the time. It's the left that keeps engaging in violence. It's a wacko on the left who tried to kill Trump. Or maybe it was our own government. As this ABC host claims here today, this is quite fascinating. Take a listen to this.
Chief Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas starts us off from Washington. Good morning, Pierre.
George, good morning. Our audience is about to see the frantic seconds in the moments after the gunman tried to kill former President Trump. It's all caught on police body cam video. And warning to our family at home, what you're about to see may be disturbing.
Now, you know, as I think about this now, you got to wonder. Why did they let him on the roof? Why did they let him take the shots? Why did they let Trump on the stage? Why did all these things occur? Why did all of these things occur? Back to the Penguin.
Governor Sarah Palin said in August of last year of Trump's indictments, do you want us to be in civil war? Because that's what's going to happen. We're not going to keep putting up with this. We do need to rise up and take our country back, close quote. I could go on, but it's more and more of the same. And I hear nothing from the other side of the aisle in this room about these statements. Do you support a bloodbath if you don't get the election outcome you want? Do you justify violence if the left does not agree with you? And what exactly has preoccupied this Republican majority while their allies threaten violence to their political enemies, real and imagined? We have chased down baseless conspiracy theories designed solely to influence the 2024 election in favor of Donald Trump. We have spent millions of dollars and thousands of hours of staff time in more than 100 transcribed interviews chasing false accusations against President Biden, supporting an impeachment effort that seemed designed to fail, and hunting for a smoking gun that simply does not exist.
How do you know it doesn't exist if they haven't had the investigation yet, Wads? Wadler, how do you know if they haven't finished the investigation? I keep hearing we got to finish the investigation, so how do you know there's no smoking gun until the investigation's over? It seems like this guy's already made his mind up. He's already decided now. It's Trump's fault. It's the gun's fault. And they've already closed case. It's over. So why even have an investigation?
And instead of admitting that these investigations found no corruption, coercion, or unethical behavior by the Biden administration, Republicans chose to just dig deeper and spend more money. Imagine what could have happened if we had spent these thousands of hours of staff time and those millions of taxpayer dollars addressing even one aspect of the political violence that now threatens our country. Perhaps.
Oh, I get it. Oh, I see. I was confused. What Wads is saying here, the Wadler's saying that by going after Joe Biden and all these investigations, that's what led to the Trump shooting. Oh, now I understand. I was having a very hard time following that because I'm a critical thinker and I'm an intelligent person. I apologize. I was misled by his rambling. Now I get it. Okay, so then what about all the criminal trials of President Trump? Did they have anything to do with it? If that's your analogy, that all the violence, all the investigations led to violence, then what about all the investigations into Trump? Did that lead? I'm asking for a friend. Did that lead then to the shooting? Because we weren't investigating political violence, Wads? Huh? Anyway, this is frustrating. The Dave McCormick ad is so good, isn't it? The Dave McCormick ad is so good. I love it. I absolutely love it. In fact, I'm going to play it for you one more time. We played it earlier today, but it's really worth playing because I think it's an excellent, excellent ad. And, you know, as we cue that up, Elizabeth Warren, America's mother-in-law, touting one of Kamala Harris's greatest accomplishments as Vice President of the United States of America. Take a listen.
What do you think has been her biggest accomplishment since she's been Vice President?
Oh, I have to say, since the Dobbs opinion, the way that she has rallied women and friends of women, also called men, around this country on the issue of abortion and just taken it home. First
of all, how do you know they're men and how do you know they're women? And what about all of the other people that don't identify as those things? Huh? Come on. All right.
Vice president in history to visit an abortion clinic. Go get them. You know, she's someone who talks openly about things that were kind of challenging for some people to talk about, but also to talk
abortion
about it
President Biden didn't even mention the word abortion in his State of the Union.
But Vice President Harris has, and she's talked about it both with compassion, but also with a sense of what is right. How can we be a country that half of America lost rights because of an extremist Supreme Court?
Nobody lost rights. There are plenty of states that still allow abortion. In fact, abortion numbers are actually up. Nobody lost rights. And secondly, by the way, visiting an abortion clinic, that's your big, whoa. That's your big accomplishment. Let's contrast that with all the other things about Kamala Harris, shall we? Dave McCormick's ad, which I played earlier in the show, is fantastic. It's an A+. Honestly, I haven't seen a political ad that makes me this excited in a very, very long time. That's how excited I am by this political ad. I felt it move. No, I'm saying chill bumps. I had chill bumps. I had chill bumps. Take a listen.
Kamala Harris is inspiring and very capable. The more people get to know her, they're going to be particularly impressed by her ability.
Nonpartisan GovTrack has rated you as the most liberal senator.
I am prepared to get rid of the filibuster to pass a Green New Deal. There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking.
Would you ban offshore drilling?
Yes.
What is the solution for voters in the fossil fuel industry?
Giving the workers an ability to transition.
We're not going to treat people who are undocumented across the borders criminals. That's correct.
Raise your hand if you think it should be a civil offense rather than a crime across the border without
her
documentation.
Abolish
ICE. Yeah. Is that a position you agree with?
And we need to probably think about starting from scratch.
Outdated, it is wrong-headed thinking to think that the only way you're going to get communities to be safe is to put more police officers on the street.
Would you support changing the dietary guidelines? The food pyramid. What people to reduce red meat specifically.
Yes.
People who are convicted in prison.
I played you that clip yesterday of her talking about, I love cheeseburgers, but we may have to ban cheeseburgers. You know, James Carville's so full of it. He's so full of it. This is a guy who months ago was telling Maureen Dowd of the New York Times, I'm tired of people telling me I can't have a cheeseburger. I say, I love my cheeseburger. Now he's out there acting like he's excited about Kamala Harris. I'm telling you, we're being duped here. I saw my electrician today, Ron Cappuccio, great guy, and Larry, his number two. They were over the house. Some outlets needed replacing. I can't do anything, as you know. And I was just asking them their opinion. And they said, oh, yeah, this is all fugazi. It's all a fugazi. I had Ray over, too, fixing my Sub-Zero. I got all kinds of problems. You know, and I can't do a damn thing. So I had to take care of that. But the Zioli Army was well represented inside my home today with all the people servicing my house. I can just tell you that. And you'll be happy to know they all listen, obviously. Maybe listening right now. But they all think this is a fugazi. We're all being played here. Carville was out there literally saying, I just want to have my cheeseburger. It's hard for a man to be told by a liberal woman you can't have a cheeseburger. And now he's cheering on Kamala Harris, who's literally out there saying we need to ban cheeseburgers. Stop it. Cheeseburger.
Austin Marathon Bomber. On death row, people who are convicted of sexual assault, they should be able to vote?
I think we should have that conversation.
We have to have a buyback program, and I support a mandatory buyback program.
Mandatory.
So for people out there who like their insurance, well, they don't get to keep it.
Let's eliminate all of that. Let's move on.
By the way, a mandatory buyback program is confiscation. It's just the government giving you money after they confiscate your property. But just, you know, it's still confiscation. You got that part, right? Of course you do. You're a smart person. That's why you're listening to this program.
I'm opposed to any policy that would deny any human being public health, period.
The more people get to know her, they're going to be particularly impressed by her ability.
We did it. We did it, Joe.
I love how they superimpose her cackling laugh in the background. The cackle, like a Batman villain in the background. It's fantastic. It's fantastic. It really is. It's well done. It really reminds me of some sort of a Batman movie. I love it. I hate to bring Batman into the equation, but I could bring a Batman villain into the equation. But that's what she sounds like, the cackler. Oh, and by the way, if you've got a problem with the cackle, guess what? You're racist. I know you're racist and sexist. If you got a problem with that, you are racist and sexist. But Carville is so full of it because the same guy that was out there saying that he wants to just be able to have his cheeseburger in peace without being lectured to by elite women, he's now going out there and saying Harris's biggest asset is just compare her to Trump. I'll share that with you upon my return as we continue our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Don't go away.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, before I turn it over to the great one, Mark Levin, and we get ready for Biden's primetime, potentially farewell address to the nation, James Carville really annoys me. He's so full of crap about Kamala Harris. He's so full of it. He literally said there's too many preachy liberal women who want to tell you don't eat hamburgers. Kamala Harris wants to ban cheeseburgers to save the environment. She is the embodiment of everything Carville has a problem with all these minority women who are deciding this election and telling all these guys how to live. His entire premise in that article he gave to Maureen Dowd, the entire premise is that preachy females, Democrat elites, are turning off men, particularly black men. And now we're going to have a woman who wants to ban cheeseburgers. Yeah, I'm not buying this. I'm sorry, I'm not buying this. Here's Carville telling MSNBC why Kamala Harris is such a great pick. I'm calling BS on this. The raging Cajun is the Fugazi Cajun.
It's still going to be very, very close. What issues do you think Vice President Harris can now more effectively prosecute and communicate than President Biden? And do you think this changes the map at all? Because for President Biden, it seemed like it was really narrowing, and his only path would have been through that Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan trio.
Right. What it really brings is the idea of change. Okay, people wanted something different. 73% told us they wanted something different. As soon as they got something different, you had this real outpouring. I'm not surprised at that at all. And her biggest asset is just compare her to Trump, compare the youth, compare the energy. And I think that's going to work well for her going forward. I don't think people are behind her because of this policy proposal. I think they're behind her because they wanted something different, and she represents that. And I think that's what's driving this enthusiasm and this era of good feeling we have right now. And of course, the Trump people are going to paint her as more of the same, some horrific urban coastal liberal. That's good. They've already started. You know, take your plastic straws away. That was the Jason Miller, Sean Hannity initial attack. Protect those damn straws.
James Carville, you're a hypocrite, dude. You're a complete hypocrite. Telling Maureen Dowd that preachy women are the problem with the Democrat Party. And now you're acting like it's just Republicans saying this. We're being played here. I'm telling you, we're being played. We're being played. This article he gave with Maureen Dowd is very, very telling here about why Kamala Harris is a terrible candidate. Okay? This is a terrible candidate. Remember, he's the guy that said he wanted generic white guy to take on Donald Trump. Generic white guy. And in this article, in this conversation, he goes on to talk about the fact that you've got people who are going out there who are constantly lecturing people. Lecturing people. He's sounding the alarm about progressives getting too censorious since he advised Hillary Clinton in 2016. He discouraged liberal snooty elitist faculty lounge attitudes long before he blew off the faculty lounge himself. He complained that woke stuff is killing us and the left was talking in a language that ordinary Americans did not understand, using terms like Latinx and communities of color, and with a tone that many Americans found sneering as basket of deplorables. Quote, there are a lot of people on the left that would rather lose and be pure because it makes them feel good. It makes them feel superior. And that is how you end up with Dobbs. He thinks Donald Trump's voters see him akin to King Cyrus or King David in the Bible, a flawed messenger. But he goes on to say, no one wants to live like this. Whoever thought it was a good idea to tell people you can't hug them, or you've got to be careful, or you've got to think about names to call them other than the name they know by. There's nothing wrong with me being white, or you being white, or them being black, or me being male, or you being female. It's a giant, stupid argument. He even says it's the Indian, not the arrows, a very un-PC axiom. He said, Biden is like a mosquito in a nudist colony. It's hard to pick a target, but you got to pick one and go after it. But that's the problem, is that Biden is bleeding black male voters. At the time that he said this was March of 2024, he says, a suspicion of mine is there are too many preachy females dominating the culture of the party. Don't drink beer. Don't watch football. Don't eat hamburgers. That's not good for you. The message is too feminine. Everything you're doing is destroying the planet. You've got to eat your peas. Please, please. Don't let us sit here and pretend like they think that Kamala Harris is a good candidate, because she's not. She's everything Carville was whining about, everything Carville was complaining about. That's Kamala Harris. And she doesn't stand with the police. She doesn't. She doesn't. She's not for closing the border. She isn't. And she was very, very happy. Very, very happy with the summer of love and all the protests that were going on in America. I got news for you. Americans think that was nuts.
They're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. And that's, they're not, this is a movement. I'm telling you, they're not going to stop. And everyone beware, because they're not going to stop. It is going to, they're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not.
They should not. All the protests that cost America billions of dollars, they should not let up. Okay? Please. Please. The reality is this. Donald Trump is still crushing it. He is. He's crushing it. He's crushing it, and even CNN has to acknowledge that fact. They don't want to. They don't want to acknowledge that shit, that fact, but they have to. They have to. Donald Trump is still at this moment right now crushing it. CNN is not happy about this, but CNN's Harry Enten has to point out the fact. Donald Trump is now at his highest favorability rating ever.
Kamala Harris, it is going to be difficult to beat Donald Trump, and I want to give you an understanding
exactly.
of why. Let's
exactly.
take a look here just first at the favorable views of Donald Trump. We know that Donald Trump has historically been unpopular, but take a look now. After the Republican National Convention, in the ABC News Ipsos poll, he recorded his highest ever favorable rating at 40%. That's not a one-off. Take a look at the Quinnipiac University poll, 46%. That's the highest ever in that pollster. The fact is, Donald Trump is more popular now than he ever has been before. So yes, Democrats can make this switcheroo, but they're still going to have to beat Donald Trump, a Donald Trump who is stronger, Sarah, than he has ever been before.
Exactly.
It will be interesting to see how voters respond to all of this. Now, how is he doing relative to Harris, who did run at yes. one point? What do those numbers look like?
Yeah, so let's take a look here, right? We've been focusing so much on how Harris was doing better than Biden in the polling, and that's true. If we take a look at the national average, what do we see? We see Donald Trump up by one. That's a within-the-margin race, right? That's a close race. But remember, of course, in the national popular vote, Democrats tend to do better there than they've done in the Electoral College, at least when Donald Trump has been running for president. So last time around, when Joe Biden barely won in the Electoral College, he actually won the national popular vote by 4 points. So at this point, Donald Trump is running 5 points better, better than he was 4 years ago against Joe Biden. So at this particular point, whether you look at the favorable ratings, whether you look at the horse race polling, we see that Donald Trump is doing significantly better than he was doing 4 years ago at this point. Kamala Harris is going to have to do better than this, if she wants to win the popular vote, but more than that, if she wants to win the Electoral College, where she'll likely have to outperform how she's done nationally, because the fact is, if you got to tie it in the national popular vote, that is probably not good enough if you are Kamala Harris and you want to win the election against Donald Trump.
Give me some sense of what
Not good. So I'm telling you, I'm still not convinced it's going to be Kamala Harris as the candidate. Because as more and more comes out about her, it's very obvious she doesn't have what it takes to get this done. That's the bottom line. All right, listen, have a great rest of your night tonight. I appreciate it. Just a reminder, I'm off tomorrow going to New York for a super secret double probation meeting. Friday, I got my deviated septum surgery as I continue my surgery punch card. But don't worry, you'll be in great hands with Michael Pelka and Mary Walter. And then I'll be back on Monday. But keep the conversation going on social media, please. There'll be a lot to chat about, no doubt about it. On X at Rich Zeoli. And please follow along on Instagram as well at Zeoli Show. TikTok Zeoli Show. Rumble Zeoli Show. We're trying to crush it, baby, on all the social media channels. So do your part and help out. Help a brother out. I got kids to feed. Thank you.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, before I turn it over to the great one, Mark Levin, and we get ready for Biden's primetime potentially farewell address to the nation, I just James Carville really annoys me. He's so full of crap about Kamala Harris. He's so full of it. He literally said there's too many preachy liberal women who want to tell you don't eat hamburgers. Kamala Harris wants to ban cheeseburgers to save the environment. She is the embodiment of everything Carville has a problem with all these minority women who are deciding this election and telling all these guys how to live. His entire premise in that article he gave to Maureen Dowd, the entire premise is that preachy females, Democrat elites, are turning off men, particularly black men. And now we're going to have a woman who wants to ban cheeseburgers. Yeah, I'm not buying this. I'm sorry, I'm not buying this. Here's Carville telling MSNBC why Kamala Harris is such a great pick. I'm calling BS on this. The Raging Cajun is the Fugazi Cajun.
It's still going to be very, very close. What issues do you think Vice President Harris can now more effectively prosecute and communicate than President Biden? And do you think this changes the map at all? Because for President Biden, it seemed like it was really narrowing, and his only path would have been through that Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan trio.
Right.
What it really means is the idea of change. Okay, people wanted something different. 73% told us they wanted something different. As soon as they got something different, you had this real outpouring. I'm not surprised at that at all. And her biggest asset is just compare her to Trump, compare the youth, compare the energy. And I think that's going to work well for her going forward. I don't think people are behind her because of this policy proposal. I think they're behind her because they wanted something different, and she represents that. And I think that's what's driving this enthusiasm and this era of good feeling we have right now. And of course, the Trump people are going to paint her as more of the same, some horrific urban coastal liberal. That's good. They've already started. So take your plastic straws away. That was the Jason Miller, Sean Hannity initial attack. Protect those damn straws.
James Carville, you're a hypocrite, dude. You're a complete hypocrite. Telling Maureen Dowd that preachy women are the problem with the Democrat Party. And now you're acting like it's just Republicans saying this. We're being played here. I'm telling you, we're being played. We're being played. This article he gave with Maureen Dowd is very, very telling here about why Kamala Harris is a terrible candidate. Okay? This is a terrible candidate. Remember, he's the guy that said he wanted generic white guy to take on Donald Trump. Generic white guy. And in this article, in this conversation, he goes on to talk about the fact that you've got people who are going out there who are constantly lecturing people. Lecturing people. He's sounding the alarm about progressives getting too censorious since he advised Hillary Clinton in 2016. He discouraged liberal snooty, elitist faculty lounge attitudes long before he blew off the faculty lounge himself. He complained that woke stuff is killing us, and the left was talking in a language that ordinary Americans did not understand, using terms like Latinx and communities of color, and with a tone that many Americans found sneering as basket of deplorables. Quote, there are a lot of people on the left that would rather lose and be pure because it makes them feel good. It makes them feel superior. And that is how you end up with Dobbs. He thinks Donald Trump's voters see him akin to King Cyrus or King David in the Bible, a flawed messenger. But he goes on to say, no one wants to live like this. Whoever thought it was a good idea to tell people you can't hug them, or you've got to be careful, or you've got to think about names to call them other than the name they know by. There's nothing wrong with me being white, or you being white, or them being black, or me being male, or you being female. It's a giant, stupid argument. He even says it's the Indian, not the arrows, a very un-PC axiom. He said, Biden is like a mosquito in a nudist colony. It's hard to pick a target, but you got to pick one and go after it. But that's the problem, is that Biden is bleeding black male voters. At the time that he said this was March of 2024, he says, a suspicion of mine is there are too many preachy females dominating the culture of the party. Don't drink beer. Don't watch football. Don't eat hamburgers. That's not good for you. The message is too feminine. Everything you're doing is destroying the planet. You've got to eat your peas. Please, please. Don't let us sit here and pretend like they think that Kamala Harris is a good candidate, because she's not. She's everything Carville was whining about, everything Carville was complaining about. That's Kamala Harris. And she doesn't stand with the police. She doesn't. She doesn't. She's not for closing the border. She isn't. And she was very, very happy. Very, very happy with the summer of love and all the protests that were going on in America. I got news for you. Americans think that was nuts.
They're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. And that's, they're not, this is a movement. I'm telling you, they're not going to stop. And everyone beware, because they're not going to stop. It is going to, they're not going to stop before Election Day in November, and they're not going to stop after Election Day. And that should be, everyone should take note of that on both levels, that this isn't, they're not going to let up, and they should not. And
they should not. They should not. All the protests that cost America billions of dollars, they should not let up. Okay? Please. Please. The reality is this. Donald Trump is still crushing it. He is. He's crushing it. He's crushing it. And even CNN has to acknowledge that fact. They don't want to. They don't want to acknowledge that shit, that fact, but they have to. They have to. Donald Trump is still at this moment right now crushing it. CNN is not happy about this, but CNN's Harry Enten has to point out the fact. Donald Trump is now at his highest favorability rating ever.
Kamala Harris, it is going to be difficult to beat Donald Trump, and I want to give you an understanding
exactly.
of why.
Exactly.
Let's take a look here just first at the favorable views of Donald Trump. We know that Donald Trump has historically been unpopular, but take a look now. After the Republican National Convention, in the ABC News Ipsos poll, he recorded his highest ever favorable rating at 40%. That's not a one-off. Take a look at the Quinnipiac University poll, 46%. That's the highest ever in that pollster. The fact is, Donald Trump is more popular now than he ever has been before. So yes, Democrats can make this switcheroo, but they're still going to have to beat Donald Trump, a Donald Trump who is stronger, Sarah, than he has ever been before.
Exactly.
It will be interesting to see how voters respond to all of this. Now, how is he doing relative to Harris, who did run at yes. one point? What do those numbers look like?
Yeah, so let's take a look here, right? We've been focusing so much on how Harris was doing better than Biden in the polling, and that's true. If we take a look at the national average, what do we see? We see Donald Trump up by one. That's a within the margin race, right? That's a close race. But remember, of course, in the national popular vote, Democrats tend to do better there than they've done in the Electoral College, at least when Donald Trump has been running for president. So last time around, when Joe Biden barely won in the Electoral College, he actually won the national popular vote by 4 points. So at this point, Donald Trump is running 5 points better, better than he was 4 years ago against Joe Biden. So at this particular point, whether you look at the favorable ratings, whether you look at the horse race polling, we see that Donald Trump is doing significantly better than he was doing 4 years ago at this point. Kamala Harris is going to have to do better than this, if she wants to win the popular vote, but more than that, if she wants to win the Electoral College, where she'll likely have to outperform how she's done nationally, because the fact is, if you got to tie it in the national popular vote, that is probably not good enough if you are Kamala Harris and you want to win the election against Donald Trump.
Give me some sense of what
Not good. So I'm telling you, I'm still not convinced it's going to be Kamala Harris as the candidate. Because as more and more comes out about her, it's very obvious she doesn't have what it takes to get this done. That's the bottom line. All right, listen, have a great rest of your night tonight. I appreciate it. Just a reminder, I'm off tomorrow going to New York for a super secret double probation meeting. Friday, I got my deviated septum surgery as I continue my surgery punch card. But don't worry, you'll be in great hands with Michael Pelka and Mary Walter, and then I'll be back on Monday. But keep the conversation going on social media, please. There'll be a lot to chat about, no doubt about it, on X at Rich Zeoli. And please follow along on Instagram as well at Zeoli Show, TikTok Zeoli Show, Rumble Zeoli Show. We're trying to crush it, baby, on all the social media channels. So do your part and help out. Help a brother out. I got kids to feed. Thank you.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.